It's time now for Sunday Fireside, as we feature talks of general authorities of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and other popular speakers. On today's program, we feature two outstanding talks. Our first speaker, Sister Susan Jones, a talk delivered back in March in the year 2010 entitled Seeking the Holy Ghost. Our second and concluding speaker will be the late Elder Richard G. Scott, former member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, a talk entitled Learning to Recognize Answers to Prayers. Our first speaker, Sister Susan Jones, the title of her talk, Seeking the Holy Ghost.
Before we begin, I would like to ask you to do two things. Both of these requests will take some maturity on your part, but I can sense that you are that caliber of young people. First, will you now offer a silent prayer that the Holy Ghost will open your mind and heart to hear what is essential for you individually to understand and know? Because I hope you'll do something with the message that I've brought for you today. And here's the second thing I'd like to ask you to do. For those of you who have your cell phones with you, will you please turn them off now? Not to vibrate, not to silent mode, but turn them off. Because here is the blunt fact. If you are texting during our time together, there will be very little chance that you will get any message that Heavenly Father, through the Spirit, would like you to know. I appreciate you doing those two things, because we have some very sacred things to talk about today. I cannot think of a topic that will have a greater impact on your life than the essential importance of seeking after and following the promptings of the Spirit. Your single young adult years bring many decisions that will literally set the course of your life, such as education, mission, career, marriage. How important it is that you receive personal revelation concerning these critical decisions. It's just imperative that you have the guidance of the Holy Ghost to help you with decisions that not only will affect this life, but they will affect you eternally. Listen to these words that President Boyd K. Packer told graduating students at BYU Hawaii. He said, quote, "These are sobering times. You will not survive spiritually unless you know how to receive personal revelation." Close quote. The influence of the Spirit will absolutely help you make good decisions, but it can do more than that. The Holy Ghost can also help you resist temptations. When you have the companionship of the Spirit, many prior temptations that have burdened you will be dramatically minimized. And let me tell you why. Recently, I read a statement by President Spencer W. Kimball that I am fascinated by. Listen carefully to what he said. Quote, "If heeded or if followed, the Holy Ghost will guide, inspire, and warn, and will neutralize the promptings of the evil one." Close quote. Let me read that one more time. If heeded, the Holy Ghost will guide, inspire, and warn, and will neutralize the promptings of the evil one. That means that when the Holy Ghost is with you, seeing an inappropriate movie does not seem appealing. Getting involved in taking prescription drugs, drinking, or immoral behavior does not interest you at all. When you feel the Spirit with you, you wouldn't even consider purchasing that revealing swimsuit or a modest outfit because you would not feel at all comfortable wearing it. According to President Kimball, the companionship of the Holy Ghost will help to weaken and even neutralize those temptations that have troubled you. Remember that when you were baptized and confirmed, you were directed to receive the Holy Ghost. That word receive is very important to notice. When you were confirmed a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Melchizedek priesthood holder performing that ordinance did not say, "I give unto you the Holy Ghost." Rather, you were told to receive the Holy Ghost. Now, receive is an action word. You must do some things in order to receive the Holy Ghost to be your companion. You must live your life in such a way that the Holy Ghost can guide and inspire you to make good decisions. Elder David Bednar explained that because we live in a mortal world, quote, we might not have the presence of the Holy Ghost with us every second of every minute of every hour of every day. However, said Elder Bednar, the Holy Ghost can tarry with us much, if not most, of the time. And certainly, he said, the Spirit can be with us more than it is not with us, close quote. Well, some of you may be thinking, I can't remember the last time I felt the Spirit. My guess is that each of you have probably had some spiritual promptings in the recent past, but maybe you didn't recognize them as such. I'm sure if you think back, you can remember times when you have been taught by the Spirit. Maybe you were sitting in sacrament meeting, really listening to the speaker, or in your institute class, and you felt you wanted to be a better person, not better looking or more popular, just better. That feeling was the Spirit inspiring you to change some behavior and become your best self. Not only will the Spirit speak to our hearts and tell us what is amiss in our lives, but the Spirit will also give us the courage and the strength to follow through. The Spirit reminds us of and pulls us toward our God-given potential. When the Spirit is with us, we can see more clearly. The word often used in the Scriptures is enlighten. I love that word, enlighten. If you have your Scriptures, mark down this reference, because you're going to want to read this. Doctrine and Covenants, section 11, verse 13. Verily I say unto you, I will impart unto you of my Spirit, which shall enlighten your mind, which shall fill your soul with joy. And then in section six, of Doctrine and Covenants, verse 15, we read this: Behold, thou knowest that thou hast inquired of me, and I did enlighten thy mind. Enlighten is a word to pay attention to in the Scriptures. Those two references again, Doctrine and Covenants, section 11, verse 13, and Doctrine and Covenants, section 6, verse 15, both speak of the word enlighten. Well, what does enlighten mean? It means to furnish knowledge to instruct, to give spiritual insight to. I love that word. I've often sat in meetings where I have felt enlightened. There was no burning feeling, no grand vision, but the Spirit was there. Inside, I felt enlightened. I felt instructed in areas I needed to improve, such as, Susan, you need to do a better job at making your personal prayers more meaningful. At other times, I felt enlightened that I needed to attend the temple more consistently. Very likely you have felt enlightened in similar settings. For example, maybe you have felt directed that you ought to serve a full-time mission. or that you should stop dating a certain individual, or that you should treat your parents with more kindness and respect. Maybe you felt that you should call them this weekend and tell them thank you for all that they have done to make your opportunities possible. Maybe you have felt enlightened that you need to meet with your bishop and obtain a temple recommend, and the list could go on and on. These are revelations given personally to you by the Holy Ghost. I strongly encourage you to pay attention, strict attention to this enlightenment, and then follow the sacred counsel that came into your heart and came into your mind, because that was revelation to you. Listen to this counsel from President Henry B. Eyring. He said, quote, write down impressions or thoughts that you feel come from God. Think carefully. Now listen to this. Think carefully about whether the truth you received requires action. Then he said, it is by obedience to commandments that we qualify for further revelation of truth and light. Close quote. Pay attention to the action piece in those promptings, because that's your part. That's what the Spirit wants you to understand that you need to do. It's not just a good warm feeling, it's an action that you're responsible for. Now, I would like to discuss with you today five actions that will qualify us to receive the Holy Ghost in our lives. And I promise you that if you will do these things consistently, you will have the Spirit with you more than you have ever known before. That's an absolute promise. Number one, pray. Pray every morning and every night without fail. According to President Boyd K. Packer, the gift of the Holy Ghost is awakened with prayer. Pray to Heavenly Father and specifically ask for the companionship of the Holy Ghost. I believe that the Holy Ghost oftentimes waits to be asked to be with us. Let your Heavenly Father know that you are serious about getting the Spirit in your life, that you are willing to do whatever it takes. You are willing to stop doing whatever needs to be stopped, or start doing whatever needs to be started to be worthy of the companionship of the Spirit. I think if we were to identify the single most important factor in helping you develop spiritual strength to resist temptation, I think that there's little question that it would be prayer. Meaningful, personal prayer every morning and every night. BYU conducted an extensive study involving thousands of LDS young people from all over the United States. The purpose of the study was to identify what factors most influenced young people to stay strong spiritually. These studies showed that youth who consistently prayed privately had significantly lower levels of inappropriate behavior, including immorality, drugs, and alcohol use. They also exhibited greater strength to withstand negative peer pressure and temptation. Why? Because they had the influence of the Spirit in their lives. They started their day out with prayer, and they ended their day reporting to their Heavenly Father. And that gives a sense of great accountability to God, and it increases the Spirit in our lives. President Harold B. Lee observed, I think this is interesting. He said, I don't worry about a young person who is praying privately every morning and every night. I love the scripture found in Doctrine and Covenants section 19, verse 38. Here the Lord commands us to pray always. And as I read this verse, listen to what the Lord promises us if we will heed this commandment. He said, in verse 38, pray always, and I will pour out my spirit upon you, and great shall be your blessing. It's pretty clear, isn't it? The promise is very clear what the Lord will do if we will pray always, not just occasionally. Pray with meaning. Open your heart and really talk with your Heavenly Father. Don't try to hide things from Him, because guess what? He already knows every single detail about you, and He loves you anyway. Go where you can be alone. You may even want to talk out loud. Some of my best prayers are said in the morning after my son Ben, who is our only child, still at home. After he's gone to school, I go in my closet and kneel by a chair, and I pray out loud. And those are some of my very best prayers. Talk with Heavenly Father about your fears, what you may be worried about. If it has been a while, my dear young friend, since you have really prayed, don't let another day go by without kneeling in prayer. Even if the adversary is telling you you're not worthy to pray, that is a lie. Don't fall for it. That's the adversary, and he will lead you in paths you do not want to go. You get on your knees and you confess to your Heavenly Father, whatever is weighing on you. Prayer will bless your life in extraordinary ways. Second, read the Book of Mormon every day. God and His prophets have promised us remarkable blessings if we will study the Book of Mormon. Elder Russell M. Nelson taught this. He said, quote, this book, now this is the Book of Mormon he's speaking of, this book can help with personal problems in a very real way. Do you want to get rid of a bad habit? Read the Book of Mormon. Do you want to improve relationships in your family? Read the Book of Mormon, said Elder Nelson. It will bring you closer to the Lord and His loving power. He who fed the multitude with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He who helped the blind to see and the lame to walk can bless you. That is an apostle, that is a prophet, who has told us that daily reading the Book of Mormon can help you solve your problems. Elder Dallin Oaks promised us that the reading of the scriptures can cleanse us from evil thoughts and strengthens our defenses against the adversary. I think that's absolutely true. President Irene taught, he said, for me, reading the scriptures daily has more to do with bringing the Holy Ghost into my life than almost anything else that I do. The scriptures are always great invitations for the Spirit to come into your life. Well, I testify to you, my dear, remarkable young adults, the Book of Mormon has changed my life, and it continues to change it every day. The Book of Mormon has changed the life of my children. I have watched it. I have marveled at what the Book of Mormon has done in my own family. Prophets have promised that there is power in the Book of Mormon that will begin to flow into your lives the moment you begin a serious study of the book. Now, when President Benson said that, he didn't say it'll eventually come, that power will eventually come. No, he said that power that is in the Book of Mormon will begin to flow into your lives the moment you begin a serious study of the book. Well, I know that is literally true. And you can prove that promise for yourself today. I challenge every one of you to get out your Book of Mormon tonight. kneel down and pray and tell Heavenly Father that you are sincere and serious about reading the Book of Mormon every day. Then start reading. But do this. Pay attention to how you feel as you read. That feeling of peace, comfort, and reassurance is the Holy Ghost testifying to you that what you are reading is true and what you are doing is good. That will happen for you. I mentioned earlier that my son Andrew is serving a mission in Brazil. Early on in Andrew's mission, he's been out about 8.5 months. And early on, Andrew was struggling to know if he really had a testimony of the Book of Mormon, a testimony of his own. Well, we sent letters through via email to Andrew, giving him all sorts of counsel and in trying to help him get through this time and to have him see that yes, he did have more of a testimony than he thought. And in one letter I sent him, I counseled him the same way I'm counseling you, to pay attention, Andrew, to how you feel when you read the Book of Mormon. And not long after, he shared this experience. This came back in an email that I absolutely treasure, because we were pleading for this to happen for our boy. He wrote back. He had just been to where they go to email, you know, once a week, and he'd had his turn first, and then his companion was having his turn. And so while he was waiting for his companion, he said, "I went outside and just sat down by the door on the sidewalk to think a little bit. I remembered I had a Portuguese Book of Mormon, so I decided to read it for no real reason." And incidentally, that was at a time when Andrew was really struggling to learn Portuguese. "I just started to read, and even though I don't understand a lot of it, just that same peaceful feeling came over me, and I just felt really tranquil. I guess like things were all right. That made me realize the power of the book itself. I didn't understand what I was reading, but I still loved the book. Thank you so much for helping me see that I do have a testimony, and I do feel the Spirit, and that I was just expecting something more than I needed to." Now, all of you missionaries who have your call, I want you to remember what I just read to you, because you're going to have a very similar experience. And every one of you can have the same experience tonight that Andrew had. You might not understand much of what you read at first. Pay attention to the feeling. Number 3, obey with exactness. President Benson said, "The Holy Ghost abides with those who honor, respect, and obey God's commandments. And it is that spirit," said President Benson, "that gives inspiration to the individual." President Bruce R. McConkie explained it this way: "The key to the companionship of the Holy Ghost is obedience." If you don't remember another thing I say today, there's a take home. The key to the companionship of the Holy Ghost is obedience. Your safety, success, and happiness depends on your ability to obey with exactness the commandments of God. Having the companionship of the Holy Ghost depends on your ability to obey the commandments. One of my favorite primary hymns has this sentence. You are all very familiar with it. "Keep the commandments. Keep the commandments. In this there is safety. In this there is peace." That's what I wish for you. That no matter what your problems are, and I know you've got them, this is a tough time of life, I wish for you to feel peace. That's a glorious feeling that the Holy Ghost can bring. Elder David Bednar made this powerful statement in a recent general conference address. Now listen carefully to what Elder Bednar, who I think is just spectacular for youth, he said, "The standard is clear. If something we think, see, hear, or do distances us from the Holy Ghost, then we should stop thinking, seeing, or hearing, or doing that thing. If that which is intended to entertain, for example, alienates us from the Holy Ghost, then certainly that type of entertainment is not for us. Because the Spirit cannot abide that which is vulgar, crude, immodest, sinful, or evil, then clearly such things are not for us. Because we estrange the Spirit when we engage in activities we know we should shun, then such things are definitely not for us." Pretty clear, isn't it? Close quote. I want to tell you about three young adults, Sam, Carrie, and Jake, and their recent experience at a comedy club in Salt Lake City. They exemplified precisely what Elder Bednar taught. I'm going to tell you their experience from three perspectives. First is from Sam. Second perspective is from his girlfriend, Carrie. And third perspective is from his best friend, Jake. So here's Sam. Sam tells of taking his date to a comedy club along with several other couples one weekend. His friends had been there before and said it was clean and fun. Well, the comedian told some good, clean jokes, but after about 15 minutes, his jokes turned super dirty and very bad. Sam and his date, Carrie, listened for about a minute, both feeling very uncomfortable. Sam didn't feel right about exposing his date to this, and so he turned to her and said, "Are you ready to go?" Well, being the wonderful girl that Carrie is, she said, "Yeah, let's go." Before they left the club, Sam went over to where his best friend Jake and date were sitting. They'd ridden together, the four of them. Quietly, Sam whispered to Jake that they'd had enough and that they would be out in the parking lot. Well, not 30 seconds had passed when Jake and his date walked out. And soon after, the rest of the friends with their dates walked out into the parking lot as well. Sam said that no one said too much about what had happened, but there was no question that everyone knew that they had done the right thing. Now, here's his girlfriend, Carrie, who wrote, "I wanted to get up and leave, but I struggled with this decision because I knew my date had spent quite a bit of money on the tickets. I started to feel more and more uncomfortable when, to my rescue, my date turned and whispered to me, 'Are you ready to go?' I was so relieved. It was the answer to my silent prayer." She said, "I had the most incredible feeling in my heart as I walked out into that parking lot. I was so grateful that night for the example of my date and so grateful for the respect he showed me. He was my guardian of truth and virtue." And finally, Jake's experience. And I find Jake's the most interesting of the three. He said, "Crude humor started to take the main stage, which then turned to sacrilegious comments about the LDS faith. Comment after comment made me really uneasy with the situation, and I thought about leaving. But somehow the silly idea of how I had just spent $25 to get in, or how everyone would laugh at us or think we were not mature enough to handle it, left me sitting in my seat." Then Jake said, "This is what I am most upset about. I let a couple of worldly thoughts get in my way of my spiritual courage and spiritual preparedness. My spiritual progression stopped for a few minutes. Once the crass jokes started coming, I should have left. It's truly as simple as that. But for some stupid reason, I didn't. A finger tapped me on the shoulder and I turned to see my best friend crouched down behind me, pointing to the door and saying, "We're out of here. I can't handle this guy any longer. We'll be waiting in the parking lot." At that moment, my friend became my hero. He left, and I, along with our friends, shortly followed. The comedian made fun of us as we left, but who cares? I'm grateful for the example of my friend. And then he said this, "And I shamefully don't know if I would have done the same if he had not been there that night." Well, it is clear to see why young people like Sam, Carrie, and Jake are called a chosen generation. Currently, Sam is serving a mission in Africa. I know Sam because I know his mother. She's my good friend. For them, obedience is a quest, not an irritation. Let me say that one more time. For them, obedience is a quest, not an irritation. They don't say, "I can't drink, I can't see vulgar movies," and so forth. Rather, they say, "I don't want to drink, I don't want to see inappropriate movies." In effect, they are saying, "I don't want to do anything that might separate me from the Holy Ghost." Now, I ask you this question. Can your friends count on you to make the right choice under pressure? Remember, you will help others be worthy of the companionship of the Holy Ghost when you lead out. You be the one to step up. Don't wait to see what your friends are going to do. You step up, and that will be one of the greatest feelings that will come to you. You will feel a power come into your life because you've been true. No matter what your friends are doing, you've been true. And I can see your Heavenly Father smiling at that kind of strength. Number 4, stand in holy places. Be in places where you know the Holy Ghost will be present. Take advantage of every opportunity to feel the Spirit of the Lord by faithfully attending every week your Sunday church meetings. Participate in your Relief Society, Elders Quorum meetings. Worthily partake of the sacrament every week. Commit to always be enrolled and consistently attend an institute class. Attend special firesides and devotionals. Listen to all the sessions of General Conference this next week and take notes of the promptings that you receive about things the Lord would have you do to improve and to make your life better and to help you draw closer to Him. Remember the action piece. Write it down. Be in the temple as often as you can. President David Beck, General Young Men's President, I love what he said. He said, "The temple is becoming a spiritual sanctuary for young people." Is this Manti Temple that's so close to you a spiritual sanctuary in your life? You choose, said President Beck, to have God's protection when you attend the temple regularly. He said, "I invite you to be worthy of and hold a current temple recommend the rest of your life." Now there's a goal. There's a goal to rivet in your mind that you will never be without a current temple recommend. That says a lot about you if you are worthy to hold that at all times. Now, number 5, in order for us to have the Spirit in our life, we must create an environment in which the Holy Ghost can be comfortable. In other words, we need to take out the garbage. Clear away all the debris of this world that offends the Spirit of the Lord. Anything in your life that offends the Spirit, it's time to get rid of it. It's time to create an environment in your life that invites the Spirit to be close to you. Check for dishonesty and disobedience, past and present. Someone said, unrepentant sin acts like Velcro for more sin, and it repels the Holy Ghost. I recently asked a group of young women what they have noticed is offensive to the Spirit. Guess what their response was? First thing, dressing immodestly. I thought that was interesting. From 14, 15-year-old girls. We must check for any contention. Do we gossip? Any unforgiveness in our relationships? Let's check our language. Crude, foul, vulgar, or profane language will immediately drive the Spirit away. Scrutinize our television, DVD, and website viewing habits, the movies we choose to go to, the books we read, the music we listen to. Ask yourself this question. I was talking to my son Ben last night, my 17-year-old, that is still at home. We were talking about coming here today. And he had some great ideas, fabulous ideas about how the Spirit affects him. And we talked about asking this question. When you're wondering about what TV show or DVD or music to listen to or anything at all, ask yourself, whose agenda is this supporting? Whose agenda is this supporting? Does it support the adversary's agenda? Or does this support Heavenly Father's agenda of me being like His Son, Jesus Christ? Makes it simple. Makes it easy to screen everything from DVDs to employment to who you date to recreational activities. Remember that question, whose agenda is this supporting? Now, in conclusion, I've got 2 minutes. I need to emphasize 2 points that are vitally important for you to understand. We could talk a lot about what blocks the Spirit, but I'm going to only tell you two. Here's the first. President Packer told a large group of single young adults this. He said, we live in a noisy world. You're going to have to learn first that revelation or the voice of the Holy Ghost comes in the quiet times. It will come when the Lord can speak to your minds and feelings. Go quietly into the world. Go quietly about your affairs and learn that in the still small hours of the morning, the Lord will speak to you. He will never fail to answer your prayers. Now, here's the problem that so many young people have with hearing promptings of the Holy Ghost. They're never still. They're never quiet. They're always plugged in to their iPod. They're constantly texting, often doing all those things at the same time. Don't misunderstand. Cell phones and iPods are wonderful in many ways. But I need you to think about this. If you have earphones constantly in your ears and a cell phone relentlessly in your hands texting, how can you expect to hear the subtle whisperings of the Spirit to you? How will you be able to hear the promptings of the Holy Ghost if you are never quiet? Young people are comfortable with quiet, and I want to encourage you to get comfortable with quiet, because that's when you're going to hear promptings. Now, I'm going to tell you one idea super fast. Turn your cell phones off before you walk into a chapel or a classroom, because you will invite inspiration. If you're distracted by that cell phone, I guarantee you're going to miss most of it. Now, last thing. Unresolved sin blocks the Holy Ghost from being your constant companion. Since the Holy Ghost does not dwell in unclean tabernacles, living a virtuous life is a prerequisite for having the companionship of the Spirit. If there's something you need to talk over with your bishop, please do not wait any longer. Make a commitment to yourself that you're going to go see your bishop this week. And I promise you, you will feel so much better when you walk out of his office that you will say to yourself, I wish I had done that sooner. You have one of your best friends in this world in your bishop, because he will help you make a plan to get you back on the path and help you stay there. You will feel love and compassion when you visit with him. Your bishop will respect you for having the courage to come in and visit with him and get things cleared up so you can be right again with the Lord. The Lord does not want you to carry this burden any longer. Go get it cleared up. And your bishop is waiting. He is your best friend in this. Now, my dear, dear friends, my desire for each one of us is that we will make seeking after the Spirit and following the promptings of the Holy Ghost our number one priority. And here's the take-home message. Remember, you control how close you are to the Spirit. It's as simple as that. I pray for this for you. You are the hope of this church. May you be true. May you have the courage to take seriously what I have brought you today. I haven't brought it to you. The Spirit has brought it. The Spirit has taught you. I testify of the truth that you have heard this day. May you be mature enough to do something about it, is my prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
And you're listening to Sunday Fireside. You've just heard a talk by Sister Susan Jones, a talk from March of the year 2010 entitled Seeking the Holy Ghost. Our concluding speaker today is the late Elder Richard G. Scott, former member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, a conference address from October of 1989 entitled Learning to Recognize Answers to Prayers. Our concluding speaker, the late Elder Richard G. Scott.
A woman sat sobbing. With tear-filled eyes, she told me, I don't know what I believe anymore. She spoke of having struggled and prayed many days to know how to make a vitally important decision in her life without success. She anguished, I don't know what to do. If you'll tell me what to do, I'll do it. With her hand on the scripture, she said, God told us he would help us. He answers everybody else's prayers. Why won't he answer mine? When one is caught in a whirlpool of emotion, it is difficult to find a way out alone. My prayer is to help you who have similar feelings. When answers to urgent prayer don't seem to come, it can be that we don't understand some truths about prayer, or because we don't recognize answers when they come. Our Heavenly Father did not put us on earth to fail, but to succeed gloriously. It may seem paradoxical, but that is why recognizing answers to prayer can sometimes be very difficult. Some face life with only their own experience and capacity to help them. Others seek through prayer divine inspiration to know what to do. When required, they qualify for power beyond their own capacity. Communication with our Father in heaven is not a trivial matter. It is a sacred privilege. It is based upon unchanging principles. When we receive help from our Father in heaven, it is in response to faith, obedience, and the proper use of agency. It is a mistake to assume that every prayer we offer will be answered immediately. Some prayers require considerable effort on our part. True, sometimes impressions come when we have not specifically sought them. They generally concern something we need to know and are not otherwise able to find out. We are here on earth to gain experience we can obtain in no other way. We are given the opportunity to grow, to develop, to gain spiritual maturity. To do that, we must learn to apply truth. How we face challenges and resolve difficult problems is crucially important to our happiness. To better understand prayer, I have listened to the counsel of others, pondered the scriptures, and studied the lives of prophets and others. Yet what seems most helpful is seeing in my mind a child approaching trustingly a loving, kind, wise, understanding Father who wants us to succeed. Don't worry about clumsily expressed feelings. Just talk to your Father. He hears every prayer and answers it in His way. When we explain a problem and a proposed solution, sometimes He answers yes, sometimes no. Often He withholds an answer, not for lack of concern, but because He loves us perfectly. He wants us to apply truths He has given us. For us to grow, we need to trust our ability to make correct decisions. We need to do what we know is right. In time, He will answer. He will not fail us. I have described the absolute reality of our relationship with our Father. There is nothing about us He does not know. He is conscious of our every need and could provide all of the answers. Yet because His purposes are eternal happiness, He encourages us to make the correct choices. Sometimes, like a child, we misbehave, act unwisely, and feel we cannot approach our Father with a problem. When communication is strained, how wonderful it is to have a mediator who works things out when we obey His counsel and repent. Such is our brother, the Savior. Perhaps Oliver Cowdery's experiences were recorded for us to understand how to pray and how to recognize answer to prayer. Oliver was told that as assuredly as the Lord liveth, even so surely shall you receive a knowledge of whatsoever things you shall ask in faith, with an honest heart, believing that ye shall receive. I will tell you in your mind and in your heart by the Holy Ghost. When we receive an impression in our heart, we can use our mind to either rationalize it away or to accomplish it. Be careful what you do with an impression from the Lord. Oliver was further taught, remember, without faith you can do nothing. Therefore ask in faith. Trifle not with these things. Do not ask for that which you ought not. According to your faith it shall be done unto you. Ask in faith means ask with confidence in our Holy Father. Like many of us, Oliver did not recognize the evidence of answers to prayers already given by the Lord. To hope in His and our eyes, this revelation was given through Joseph Smith. Blessed art thou for what thou hast done, for thou hast inquired of me. And behold, as often as thou hast inquired, thou hast received instruction of my Spirit. If it had not been so, thou would not have come to the place where thou art at this time. Behold, thou knowest that thou hast inquired of me, and I did enlighten thy mind. And now I tell you these things that thou mayest know that thou hast been enlightened by the Spirit of truth. If you feel that God has not answered your prayers, ponder these scriptures. Then carefully look for evidence in your own life of His having already answered you. To help each of us recognize answers given, the Lord said, "If you desire a further witness, cast your mind upon the night that you cried unto me in your heart, that you might know concerning the truth of these things. Did I not speak peace to your mind concerning the matter?" The Lord provides further insight by counseling us to study a problem out in our mind and then to ask if it be right. "If it is right, I will cause that your bosom will burn within you. Therefore you shall feel that it is right. But if it not be right, you shall have no such feelings, but you shall have a stupor of thought." It is vitally important to recognize that the Lord also responds a third way to prayer, by withholding the answer when the prayer is offered. Why would He do that? He is our perfect Father. He loves us beyond our capacity to understand. He knows what is best for us. He sees the end from the beginning. He wants us to act to gain needed experience. When He answers yes, it is to give us confidence. When He answers no, it is to prevent error. When He withholds an answer, it is to have us grow through faith in Him, obedience to His commandments, and a willingness to act on truth. We are expected to assume accountability by acting on a decision that is consistent with His teachings without prior confirmation. We are not to sit passively waiting or to murmur because the Lord has not spoken. We are to act. Most often, what we have chosen to do is right. He will confirm the correctness of our choices His way. That confirmation generally comes through packets of help found along the way. We discover them by being spiritually sensitive. They are like notes from a loving Father as evidence of His approval. If in trust we begin to do something which is not right, He will not let us. He will let us know before we have gone too far. We sense that help by recognizing troubled or uneasy feelings. Nephi's efforts to obtain the plates of brass show how the principles work. When the older brethren were asked to go, they murmured and received no help. Nephi was assured, "Thou shalt be favored of the Lord because thou hast not murmured." Nephi's words, "I will go and do," reveal a positive commitment to act and to succeed by using spiritual law. After two unsuccessful attempts, Nephi remained confident. He crept into the city toward the house of Laban without all the answers. He observed, "I was led by the Spirit, not knowing beforehand the things which I should do," significantly adding, "Nevertheless, I went forth." Nephi was willing to try time and again using his best efforts. He expressed faith that he would be helped. He refused to be discouraged. But because he had confidence in the Lord, was obedient, and properly used his agency, he received guidance. He was inspired step after step to success, and in his mother's words, was given power to accomplish the thing the Lord had commanded. Nephi knew he was required to be obedient, to confide in God, and to act so that he could receive help step by step. He did not murmur, nor ask for a full explanation. But observe particularly, he did not wait passively for help. He acted. By following spiritual law, he was inspired and given power to act. Sometimes answers to prayer are not recognized because we are too intent on wanting confirmation of our own desires. we fail to see that the Lord would have us do something else. Be careful to seek His will. I confess, I don't know how to make a correct decision, except where there is righteousness and trust in the Heavenly Father. The principle simply will not work when agency is intentionally used at variance with the will of God. If there is unrepentant sin, we are left to our own devices to flounder and struggle on our own. We can be rescued through our own repentance. When we seek inspiration to help make decisions, the Lord gives us gentle promptings. These require us to think, to exercise faith, to work, to struggle at times, and to act. Seldom does the whole answer to a decisively important matter or complex problem come all at once. More often it comes a piece at a time without the end in sight. I have saved the most important part about prayer until the end. It is gratitude. Our sincere efforts to thank our beloved Father generate wondrous feelings of peace, self-worth, and love. No matter how challenging our circumstances, honest appreciation fills our mind to overflowing with gratitude. Why is it that the most impoverished seem to know best how to thank the Lord? In the highlands of Guatemala, members barely subsist. Going to the temple requires great sacrifice. A visit takes a year of preparation. There is hard work, sacrifice to save money and food, the spinning, dyeing, and weaving of new clothing. There is the long barefoot walk out of the mountains, the crossing of Lake Isabel, the bus rides with little food. Tired and worn, they arrive at the temple. They scrub until they shine, dress in their new clothing, and enter the house of the Lord. Reclothed in white, they are taught by the Spirit, receive ordinances, and make covenants. One Highland woman was greatly touched by the spirit and meaning of the endowment. Entering the celestial room, she saw others seated with heads reverently bowed. Innocently, she knelt at the entrance to the room, oblivious to others. She bowed her head, sobbed, and for 20 minutes poured out her heart to her Father in heaven. Finally, with her dress soaked with tears, she raised her head. The sensitive temple matron asked, "May I help you?" She responded, "Oh, would you? This is my problem. I've tried to tell Father in Heaven my gratitude for all of my blessings, but I don't feel that I've communicated. Will you help me tell him how grateful I am?" The counsel about prayer is true. I have tested it thoroughly in the laboratory of my own personal life. I have discovered that what sometimes seems an impenetrable barrier is a giant step we are expected to take in trust. If you seek His help, be sure your life is clean, your motives are worthy, and you're willing to do what He asks, for He will answer your prayer. He is your loving Father. You are His beloved child. He loves you perfectly and wants to help you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
You're listening to Sunday Fireside, and you've just heard a talk by the late Elder Richard G. Scott, former member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, a conference address from October of 1989 entitled, "Learning to Recognize Answers to Prayers." We invite you to join us again next week for another program in this series on Sunday Fireside.